Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Hey, it's your boy, Ramley John, and I'm back here with episode 106 of Growth Marketing Today. Now, today I'm going to be talking to Mike King, and we're going to be talking all about technical SEO. Now, no website can stand without a strong backbone. For content, that backbone is technical SEO, which is the structure of your website. Without it, Google and other search engines wouldn't know that your website even exists, so they can't even rank your website for certain keywords. In this episode, I talked to Michael King. He's the founder and managing director of iPoolRank, a full-service SEO agency. Now, he shares how he used natural language generation to automatically generate metadata and increase the organic search traffic for one of their clients by 50%. Yeah, that you heard that. In episode 106, you learned first, why is knowing technical SEO important for ranking content higher in Google? Second, what kind of data should you be looking at when doing technical SEO? Third, how should marketers prepare themselves for the future of SEO? And fourth, for the fun of it, what was Mike King's stage name as a traveling rapper? Yeah, you heard that right. We're going to find out his stage name. Now, before we jump in, I've created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips, insights, and takeaways from this episode in a one-page PDF. You can use that and take all the lessons, apply to your business, and accelerate the growth of your company. Why take notes about this podcast episode when you can just steal mine? Go to growthtoday.fm/106 or find that link in the description. Make sure to download that now, because I only keep that up for a week. When I publish the next episode, I take this episode's growth cheat sheet away. So get it now. I also want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Before we start, this episode is brought to you by productled.com. Now, product-led growth is disrupting the way businesses are selling software. It's how companies like Slack, Zoom, Dropbox, and HubSpot have become juggernauts in their industries. Become product-led growth certified in just 6 weeks. Learn more at productled.com/certification or find that link in the description. Enough about me, let's jump into my chat with Mike King. Hey everybody, I'm excited to have Mike King. I've been following him on Twitter. He is the founder of iPoolRank, an agency based out of New York. How's it going, Mike? How are things with you?
Good. Nothing is on fire at all.
I love that I'm going to be using the video for this podcast. So, you know, if people are listening to this, you can check out the video. He has a background with a house on fire.
Yes, the "this is fine" meme, but like animated.
And you said that's how you feel with the world right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I live in New York City, and there's just so much going on, like at all times. You know, like there's been protests all around my house for the last, well, not right now, but like a couple weeks ago. And then also there's just like the business implications of COVID-19 and so on. So it's just been a lot. And, you know, we're managing it well, but at the same time, it still feels like the world's on fire.
That's true. I think you posted up something about with a spreadsheet helping people out that were affected by COVID. I really appreciate that. Like it's very helpful for people who are affected by.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was some coverage, like Ad Age covered it and so on. And the best part of it is that some people have reached out to me on LinkedIn after the fact and said like, hey, I got a new job out of this. So it's been really cool. And it was a small thing to do, but because I have just enough reach, it helped out a good amount of people. So I was happy to, you know, do that.
That's cool, Matt. You know, before we talk about SEO, I'm sure people have brought it up. There's a YouTube video of you rapping, and you said that, you know, you started off as a rapper, right? You're traveling and as a musician.
So I made music professionally for about 8 years. Like I still do it here and there, but it's not my primary source of income like it was before. And yeah, like I toured all over the States, toured all over Canada, toured all over Europe and Australia, and then did a couple shows in Africa as well. Released a few records. You know, I was very involved in the independent hip hop scene back then. So yeah, that's my background before I got into marketing. But before that, I was really into computer science. So it's like nerdy stuff, cool stuff, nerdy stuff. You know, just kind of like that's my life.
Best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
So you're a computer scientist during the day and a cool hip hop rapper traveling at night. It's like almost like Batman and Bruce Wayne, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I gotta ask you, what was your first concert ever? Like, you must remember.
Yeah, the first concert I ever went to was Public Enemy and EPMD in 1988. It was in Philadelphia, where I'm originally from. And it was on Penn's Landing. It was a free concert thrown by the radio station in Philly called Power 99. And I remember being there and like the acts being late and then people throwing bottles at the stage. I mean, Philly is known for being pretty rambunctious, and it was definitely on display that day. I remember my mom being like, yeah, we got to get out of here. So I don't think I actually saw much of Public Enemy, and that's what I really wanted to see. But EPMD was really dope too.
I want to talk about the other side. That was your Batman persona. Let's talk about your Bruce Wayne persona. You studied computer science at university. I actually studied computer science as well. How has that helped, you know, that technical education help you with SEO and just running an agency?
Yeah, so the thing is, like, I've been coding since I was 12. I was just a bored kid. So when I went to school for computer science, like, I already knew the stuff that they were teaching us. So it wasn't as valuable to me. Like, the math, I wish I would have continued to do more math and so on, because that would be super valuable now in this world of algorithms. But yeah, either way, like, it gives you a baseline of understanding of things that a lot of other marketers don't have, right? Like, you can look at a problem and say, oh, these developers probably solved it in such and such a way. Or you can look at a problem and be like, oh, I can use this library and you know, this function and so on to like figure this out. So things don't seem as daunting to me as they do to some other marketers. And I do think it is an advantage. And I've always pushed for marketers to learn more about code, even if it is like, you know, I don't expect you to be writing code every day in your day job, but it just makes it easier for you to communicate what you want to developers so that you can actually get that stuff done.
Are you still coding?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't do it, you know, too much, but like, there'll be a project here and there that I'll take on just cause I want to learn something new or I just want to play with something. So yeah, I still code. Yeah, so most of the things I'm doing these days are in Node. You know, like when I first got back into development for the web, because like I was mostly making like native applications growing up and so on. But when I first got back into it for the web, I was really heavy on PHP. And I still do a lot of PHP stuff here and there. But it's mostly Node. And I know a little Python, but it's not, it doesn't stick in my head as well because it's not C-based, whereas PHP and JavaScript are. So it takes me longer to do things in Python, but I definitely respect it for all the things that people have been developing for data science.
So. Cool. And I'm guessing that actually helps with technical SEO. You know, you've spoken a few times about technical SEO at Inbound and other places in Moz. Before we talk about that, can you share your story of how you started iPullRank?
So I think everything we just discussed is kind of connected with that. You know, like, so I was doing music, and then in like 2006, I got into a bike accident.
Oh.
Not even as cool as like a motorcycle, like a pedal bike accident. And I didn't have health insurance because this is pre-Obamacare. And so I had to get a job to pay my medical bills. And the first place to hire me was an SEO agency because of my development background. You know, I took that job in like August and I was like, all right, well, I got my first European tour coming up in November. So I'll just keep this job until then. And my boss at the time was a musician. And so I was like, yo, I actually got to quit. I'm going on tour. He was like, no. You can work from home. And I was like, what? And so, you know, I've got this giant like Dell laptop from the early 2000s that's mad heavy, that's in my baggage with all like my CDs and so on. And like, I'm writing code from the road. And it was really dope because like, you know, back then when we did SEO, it's like you gave us the website and we did it and we gave it back to you, or we just uploaded it. You know, now, like at my agency and some of the bigger agencies that I've worked at, like we write about SEO and someone else implements it. So anyway, you know, basically I stayed in those jobs until my bosses would piss me off and then I would go back on tour. And then at a certain point, I was like, you know what? If I stick with this, I could probably make some good money. And so I got a job at a bigger interactive agency, or more so ad agency, called Razorfish in Philly. And, you know, I really enjoy working there. Like, I was working with really smart people, working on really huge brands. Like, I'm a huge Ralph Lauren fan. And that was like my main client. I was like, yo, this is dope. Like, I'm working on the site where I buy from, right? And so, you know, the problem was that they had only offered me a contractor role, and I wanted a full-time role. And so it was cool, though, because, like, I could work 24 hours a week, and then, you know, I just, like, smashed that in the middle to Tuesday through Thursday, and I would just go back on the road on the weekend. And so ultimately, I was like, I really want this full-time job. I was going above and beyond. I was building software for them and everything. And they still wouldn't offer me a job. They just, like, continued to extend my contract. And so I was like, okay, I'll go to another publicist agency and get a job offer and bring it back, and they'll have to hire me. So I did that. And they were like, hey, we still can't hire you. So I moved to New York and worked at Publicis Modem. So did that, you know, starting getting involved in thought leadership in the SEO space. And at a certain point, it just made more sense for me to start my own agency. And so as of August 11th, it will have been 6 years since we started. Thank you. And, you know, aside from the pandemic, we've been doing pretty well. I have a really awesome team. And, you know, even that has taken a few iterations to get to. I had to grow as a manager. I had to get better at identifying the right people to work with. And yeah, we've got some great clients, and we're doing some awesome work and getting great results.
Congrats again. I mean, what do you focus on with iPoolRank? Is it mainly, is it a piece of any type of SEO or technical SEO content?
I would say as a agency, we are, you know, equally technical and equally marketing focused, right? And so what I mean by that is, you know, we do all types of technical stuff, and it's not just technical SEO, but what people know us for and what the name alludes to is SEO. So we do a lot of technical work, whether that's like, you know, standing up people's marketing automation, doing their technical SEO, building, you know, websites and interactives and things like that. And then we do a lot on the content strategy side. So not just content marketing, where it's like, hey, we need infographics and blog posts and ebooks. Like, we'll actually work through governance models and workflows and so on, so that content works better for your organization. And, you know, we do all the analytics stuff. We do some paid media, but the core of the work would be, you know, technical SEO and content strategy work. And then we build that trust with our clients, and then we do other things on the back of that.
I might not have asked this, but where did the name iPoolRank came from?
Yeah, I was sitting there my first day at Razorfish, and I was like, I can't use my rap name.
What is your rap name?
So I used to go by Icon the Mic King. Yeah,
cool.
And then I just shortened it to my actual name, which is Mike King. So I was sitting there, and I was like, I can't use that for all this marketing stuff. Like, people won't take me seriously. But I'm really into double entendres, and so I was like, oh, iPoolRank. That's cool. You know, like, so it just kind of stuck from there. And, you know, people have always reacted nicely to the name. So really, it came down to two names, right? I had iPoolRank, and I had Race Condition, which is also a double entendre, considering that I'm a person of color.
Right.
And also a developer. So I was like, which one? And then I was like, nah, iPoolRank is more SEO focused.
That's cool, man. Icon Mike King. That's cool. let's talk about technical SEO then. Let's jump right in. For folks who don't know or might not know why technical SEO is important, and they're just like, oh, let's just write content. Let's focus on the content strategy. Why should they care about technical SEO?
The main reason is that the content needs to be accessible to Google, and you can have a lot of issues that come up because your site is not, like, technically sound. So what happens most more often, or more often as of late, is sites are on JavaScript frameworks. So like React, Angular, and so on. And out of the box, those frameworks are not easily indexable. Google has made some significant strides to make it so that they are rendering full pages using headless browsers and things like that. But there are a lot of things that can go wrong because of those implementations. So you have the best content in the world. If Google can't see it, it doesn't matter, right? And then there's also these other technical components, like, you know, like canonicalization and page speed and how you're linking between pages and so on, that impact the ability to have Google understand your pages and access them and so on. So it's not just about content. It's about where does that content live and how is it being served so that Google can understand it and then rank it.
Yeah, so technically, if your site is not fixed for technical SEO, then Google might not be able to read that essentially, right?
Exactly. So if they can't see your content, you've got the best content in the world, you're not going to rank well. Like it used to be that, you know, as long as there's links to everything, then you'd be good. And that's still true to some degree. Like if you got external links to, you know, pages that Google can't see, they're still going to try to rank them. But everything just works better once they can access and understand the relationships between the content.
When we come back in just a moment, Mike reveals how to use natural language generation to automatically generate metadata and content. I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, Product Led Institute. Now, product led growth is disrupting the way businesses are selling software. It's this exact go-to-market strategy that companies like Slack, Zoom, Dropbox, and HubSpot have used to become industry juggernauts and dominate their markets. Now you can learn the step-by-step process to apply product-led growth strategy to transform and accelerate the growth of your business. Now Wes Bush, the author of best-selling book Product-Led Growth, and we both actually put together two new certification programs. And we put these programs together because there's nothing worse than guessing what you need to do to help your users become successful. Like realizing that you should have had a free trial versus a freemium model, or realizing that you shouldn't have been sending new users so many push notifications. I've made these expensive mistakes before, so Wes and I put this certificate program together so you won't have to make the same mistakes that we did. Now, this program is not a lecture-style college course or 100% hands-off self-paced learning program. Along with the program's content, you also get first, live weekly training from Wes and I, second, intimate mastermind group sessions, and third, real-life case studies from expert guest speakers. You can get the full curriculum and details by visiting productled.com/certification or find that link in the description. That deadline to apply is Thursday, September 10th, so make sure to check it out before then. If you're listening to this after that, you can actually apply to be on the wait list. Don't miss out on this. This is a great program that I've created with Wes. Enough about this. Let's jump back into my chat with Mike. Let's jump in and talk about what you're going to be talking about in the upcoming Moz Virtual 2020. I love the title. It's like so different. I think that's part of your entertainer background coming out. This is called the Three Ring Circus Technical SEO. What is that? And you know, how can
So that part's the subtitle. The main title is Runtime, and so it's actually a movie. We made a movie for this talk. And the reason why is because, you know, it's a virtual conference this year and they pre-recorded everything. And I was like, all right, well, if we're pre-recording, why don't we maximize this medium and make a movie? So my team and I, we got together and we have like a whole story arc where, you know, there's a series of characters and a whole scenario and so on. And my role in the film is I kind of act as a coach for the protagonist to like teach her different technical SEO tactics that she can use to beat this challenge that the antagonist has put in front of her. You know, it's like a narrative format for the same type of talk that I may have given. Like it would have been like a talk like 13 technical SEO things that you can do. And I just did it in a more creative way. So I'm excited to see what the reaction is going to be from it. And it's really interesting to me because, you know, we're marketers and I'm always thinking of ways that I can stand out because that's what you're supposed to do in marketing. And, you know, I'm just trying to always like not be boring, always try to be like on the cutting edge, always try to be something of value for people that they can take away and also entertain them. So yeah, that was where I was coming from by like, let's make a movie. And we did it.
That's so cool. Super cool, man. I'm going to go check it out. What are marketers going to learn from that? What are some like takeaways that you're going to be giving up in that movie?
Yeah, so the coolest thing that I talk about in the film is natural language generation and ways that you can do it. So one of the biggest problems for SEO for large websites is that you don't have enough content for every page, right? Mm. So if you're thinking about like an e-commerce site, typically people will write, you know, like blurbs of copy and put it at the bottom of the category pages. And that's typically how you optimize for SEO for those types of sites. And you build up the authority of those category pages, and then you flow that link equity down to the product pages so that they rank better. Well, with natural language generation, you can pull from the data model that constructs that page and then run that through a model for NLG, and then it'll spit out as much text that you want that makes sense. So it's really going to be a game changer for SEO. And, you know, the technology has been around for a couple of years, at least like the GPT-2, what I'm talking about, which was developed by Elon Musk's company OpenAI. But the use cases for SEO have been really limited. You know, there's a great guy by the name of Hamlet Batista, who you should also talk to, who has been showing how you can do things like generate meta descriptions and certain things like that. But what I've been trying to do is, like, how do we get this data into a paragraph that's generated and then use that for optimization? So that's just one. I mean, that's my favorite thing from the talk. But I talk about a series of different opportunities as well.
I checked out the details in that talk, and you mentioned that there was a case study for this. What's like an example of applying this tactics and the result?
Yeah. And so the thing is that, you know, the way that we did the film, the case studies are just things that I mentioned as asides. It's like, oh, I did this and it was like an 80% increase or whatever, or we did this and it was a negative, negative impact. Anyway, so the places where we've done NLG work before, there's been like, you know, anywhere from 15 to 50% increases in organic search traffic.
Wow.
And we've done that on like big scales and smaller scales as well. But we've got a couple projects in play where I think we're doing it even better. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the results for those next few projects as well.
That's super cool, man. In terms of SEO, technical SEO itself, you know, that in that talk, you also talk about data that people should be looking at when it comes to SEO. What are things that people should be looking at in terms of data for SEO?
There's a lot of data sources. You know, you definitely want to be looking at your link data from tools like Ahrefs, Majestics, and Moz. You definitely want to be looking at your log files. That's such a treasure trove of data to understand, like, where is Google looking at your site? How are they looking at it? What pages are they looking at the most? So you can prioritize what to optimize to see the shortest term impact. Of course, you want to be looking at your analytics in general. The Google Search Console data, it's not perfect, but it's like the only real source of understanding what keywords people are searching for and how often they're clicking and so on. You know, warehousing that data in the BigQuery is super powerful because you can use it in a variety of ways. But one of the things that I talk about in the film is a series of composite metrics that you can determine about your site so you can have your site be more reactive programmatically. So as an example, we developed this keyword ownership score, which basically says, based on a series of factors, this is the best page on your site for this keyword. And the reason why this is important is because if you have a big site, you may have multiple pages that are relevant to that keyword. So how do you decide? And, you know, Google may have chosen a page, but it may not be the best page for your site. So, you know, we've got like four different metrics that we've developed to support that. Another one is a content performance score. And then there's also a content potential score, because one of the problems that you'll run into is like, do I optimize this content or do I get rid of this content? And so having those scores as well will allow you to make those determinations at scale. So yeah, a lot of data.
That's cool, man. If people wanted to find out more about that, have you blogged about it somewhere, or like, is there somewhere you can direct them to?
So what we're doing is we are standing up a page of just resources to go with everything in the movie. So it'll be ipoolrank.com/runtime. So it's going to have, you know, the director's cut of the film. It's going to have code snippets, the screen recordings, and so on. And then I'm also writing a blog post for Moz about the NLG stuff that I was just talking about. That's going to go live next week or on the whenever you see this, it should be live.
That's cool. That's super cool, man. And with that blog post and resource, people can get started with, you know, how to get started with programmatically and NLG and stuff like that.
Absolutely. That's always been important to me. Like whenever I share something, I want to give people, here's how you do it. Even if it's like high level, here's how you do it. Cause I don't want to just be talking about things and not being able to give value to people.
I want to talk about the future of SEO and what you see coming up in the next few years. What should people be looking out for, especially marketers?
Yeah. Again, I think NLG is one of the big things that's going to change the game. Cause I think that, you know, there's going to be someone who figures out like I can generate perfectly optimized content, you know, using things like LDA and a bunch of other NLP operations. But beyond that, I think Google's trying to evolve to be far more predictive. Mm. You know, one of the examples that I give is like, imagine you, you're at your computer, you got 50 tabs open, you have an e-commerce site open, and you know, you put something in the cart, but you forgot about it because life. And you're walking down the street and there's a store that has that item you had in your cart, like, you know, the next block up. Your phone is going to be like, hey, remember that thing you were interested in? It's actually in that store on the next block. So I think Google is going to be more like that. You know, they have so much data and they're generating effectively like these personalized algorithms that represent you and your taste. Mm. And then they're going to bring that back out in the real world through things like Google Assistant and so on. So I think that's the future of search, like implicit search rather than an explicit search.
And is there anything that marketers should be doing right now to prepare themselves for that world?
Yeah, they should. They should make websites that are super fast. They should lean in on structured data, because that's how Google determines, you know, those relationships. It's like, okay, you have this specific product with this SKU and you've got this much in stock and you've also got all these locations. That's all structured data that they have across the web that they can leverage for that use case that I just talked about. Mm. And then you also want to have, you know, hyper-targeted and personalized content, because as this world becomes algorithm versus algorithm, it's going to create these filter bubbles. So if you've got broad content that's supposed to speak to everybody about a subject, well, you're going to be filtered out because there's going to be someone that has more specific content on that same subject.
I want to start wrapping up, and I love asking this question, and it could be anything that we talked about right now or anything new. What would be your one or two pieces of advice to marketers, whether that's about career or about SEO or about life?
Yeah, I mean, I think this applies to all three. Do more things and spend less time talking about doing more things. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, like I said before, when I used to do SEO for, you know, some different shops, we literally did it hands on. And there's a lot of people that I come across that they don't understand a lot of like the technical basics. And so they're kind of disadvantaged because there are so many things that you can do if you understand those technical basics. So, you know, you can apply that to anything in life. The more that you're actually doing things rather than just talking about things, the better you're going to be at things.
Makes sense. Walk the talk, essentially.
Yeah, it's like Nas says, why shoot the breeze about it when you can be about it?
You said it even better than what I just said. Why shoot the breeze so you can be about it? I want to ask a personal question, and you know, I'm curious what drives you. It seems like, you know, you're helping a lot of people, especially with people impacted by COVID. You're putting this talk together with all this resource, which takes a lot of time, right? What drives Ike and Mike King?
I mean, I just want to have an awesome life and do dope stuff. You know, like I've always been very intrinsically motivated in that way, where it's just like, I just want to do something awesome. It isn't really to impress other people.
Right.
It's more to impress myself. And, you know, I've also just got a series of, you know, kind of ethics that I live by. And when there's an opportunity to help people, I try to, you know, lean more towards that, even if it kind of doesn't work out for me. In some cases. And, you know, that's something I've had to like learn to overcome. Right. But nevertheless, you know, it's just that intrinsic motivation to do stuff that's as awesome as possible.
And that's probably how you build your personal brand, which I'm curious, you know, if there's certain marketers who are like trying to grow their personal brand, what would be your advice for them?
I would say to focus in on something that they can be the best at and then, you know, build their skills out from there, right? Like, you know, when I first started speaking, it was largely around like personas and keyword modeling against that, and then like technical SEO stuff, and then it became content strategy and so on. And so you like really build that trust with people by showing that expertise, and they give you the opportunity to experiment and share those experiments with them. So, you know, do what you can to build that trust by coming with some really valuable stuff first.
And just one final question, you know, what's your call to action for my listeners? Where do you want them to go? Do you want them to follow you on Twitter? Do you want them to go to iPollRank.com?
Yeah, go to iPollRank.com. We've got a lot of resources. You know, we recently launched something called the Modern Enterprise SEO Guide. We've got a guide to ROI for SEO. We did a really awesome, from my perspective, series of webinars and ebooks around marketing in the age of COVID-19, which people have found a lot of value from. So yeah, check us out. Come check out the resources. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm just iPollRank. And yeah, if you need some help, also feel free to reach out as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's it for this episode. I want to remind you that I've also created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips, insights, and takeaways from this episode in a one-page PDF. You can take all the lessons from this episode, apply it to your business, and accelerate the growth of your company. Why take notes when you can just download mine? You can just steal it. Go to growthtoday.fm/106 to get it now, or find that link in the description. And remember, I only keep this up for a week. Make sure to get it now, because when I publish my next episode, this episode's cheat sheet will go away. Before we end, this episode is brought to you by productled.com. Now, product-led growth is disrupting the way businesses are selling software. It's how companies like Slack, Zoom, Dropbox, and HubSpot have become juggernauts in their industries. Become product-led growth certified in just 6 weeks. Learn more at productled.com/certification or find that link in the description. You can also support me. First, you can share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn and tell a friend about this show. This is one way that podcasts gain traction by people and fans telling other people about it. Second, the other thing you can do is leave a review on Apple. If you've been enjoying it, please go ahead and leave a review, or you can also subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. And third, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode for exclusive content and an ad-free version of this podcast. If you don't like ads like this, yeah, just delete it. It's just less than a cup of coffee a week. With your support, I can pay for my hosting fees, marketing tools, so I can get amazing experts like Mike. You can go to patreon.com/growthtoday or find a link in the description. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe, and as always, keep on growing.